Welcome everyone, we're about to begin Be'ez Hashem, BPW number 80. That's Bayis Pnimi Shir for Women, Shir number 80. We're talking about establishing respect, and another aspect is to only mention one issue at a time, to stay on topic with that issue. What people tend to do is they throw in the kitchen sink, like they people say, because now you have an audience and you want to mention all the things that happen. So what happens is when you mention more than one issue at a time, it results in a complete overload of criticism. So when you're expressing a complaint to your husband, he may be able to respond effectively to that one complaint. But if you have two or three or four or five or six or seven or eight or nine or 10, and there's been many instances that there was 10 plus, because once you already have that, you throw everything in, then he just feels attacked, overloaded and attacked, and lose any motivation to actually try to solve a problem. So the important point is that it's essential when you need to bring up something, decide the issue, specific one issue that you want to work through with your husband, and discuss that one issue. So, an example. They had guests. The wife says to the husband, you know, I don't think you were very sociable towards the guests today. Husband says, I'm sorry, I had a bad headache. Now, you could take that or leave that. You know, if Yutaka had a bad headache, you know, and he normally is nice to the guests, she'll leave it at that. But she goes and continues, you always have a headache. And if you don't have a headache, then you have a stomach ache. So he responds, I'm under a lot of tension lately. So it comes out that way. Then she says, you wouldn't be under such tension if you would just learn how to manage your business better. Why don't you accept this person's offer to consult about your financial issues? So she threw in three things. You know, not being sociable to the guest. You always have headaches and stomach aches. And you don't know how to handle your business well. So that is the point. The wife's response to, I'm sorry I had a headache. I'm sorry to hear that. She could add if she wants, if he's, you know, that, you know, the guests were very, felt ignored. I hope they weren't offended. So let's figure out ideas. If you're not feeling well and the guests are over, what to do, you know? And they could discuss it in a normal way. Or, you say, so that's the idea. You know, you can't come in in the attack mode. Like, could you please rinse out the dishes when you finished it instead of leaving it on the counter and put the shoes back in the back in the place where it's supposed to be instead of leaving it in the middle of the floor? And are you going to rake those leaves in the backyard? And the neighbor complained about the mess of newspapers you left at the side of the house. And on and on and on and on. So staying on topic makes it possible to resolve an issue fully. When one moves from subject to subject to subject, no problem will be solved. Not only will no problem be solved, there's an emotional impact of rejection and disrespect. No one likes to hear so many complaints in one sitting. There is an understanding that when things you disagree upon, there's a certain criticism, something that has to be brought up, you bring it up. One normal thing at a time. You stick to the issue at hand. If it goes off a tangent, you go straight to that issue, go back to that issue at hand. And that way the husband is more likely to respond and engage in finding a solution. But if there are so many complaints in there, the husband's basically can ignore all of them and get very annoyed or upset because you're just giving me a whole laundry list of things. It's, like you said, very hurtful and disrespectful. So you set your priorities and decide what is the issue you want to discuss now. What happens is, which is interesting, is when you discuss a one issue and you do it with a respect, usually when you resolve that issue, other types of issues straighten out over time. So that's one point. Another point is to keep it as short. Whatever the complaint or issue is, keep it short. No lecture. No lecture and no drama. We're not on Broadway here. This is not a Shakespeare play. This is not a movie. And this is not a speech. We're not by Project Inspire now. So, because when there's a lecture, then the husband stops listening. By the way, the children also. A long lecture, the children or teenagers, forget about it. Their attention span, they move to something else. So if there is a valid complaint or issue that needs to be raised, try to find the shortest way possible to phrase that. Explain the problem at hand. And also, the key really is, let's try to solve this problem. In other words, a lecture, what it is you have a full-blown speech with a bunch of examples and explanations. It's like you have a dissertation or a paper that you're writing with a whole list of things. What is the assumption when you make a long lecture? The listener now has to listen to all this information, has to listen to all the repetitions that are in there, all the redundancies that are in there, and all the examples, Rochel B'tchaktana, all the details. And usually a husband is not stupid. He already has an idea of what you feel about this issue mentioned. You don't have to all start from scratch again and explain everything nachamol, especially if it's already an old issue that has been discussed before, but even newer issues. The idea being is that when there is excess information, when you're giving it at the time that you're rebuking someone, they will withdraw defensively. The stronger your reaction, the stronger your husband's reaction will be, like, enough already, I got the idea, stop hounding me. So no one likes a lecture. So if there is an issue that has to be discussed, discuss the issue in a short idea. It's not a shiur. It's not a seminary. Say the complaint or the issue in 2-3 sentences. Say, let's see what we can do to solve it. This shortness has more power because it is less defensiveness. He'll be more receptive to your words. He'll be more emotionally free. He'll respond to that point. The shorter and clearer the statement is, the more powerful the communication it is, and the more he'll respond in kind. Okay, so the idea being, these extra words only antagonize, and again, lack of respect. Their impact is therefore destructive. It's not constructive. So the idea is that there's an art of speaking less in order to communicate better. Another thing that's important to establish respect is not to nag. What is nagging? Repeating the request again and again and again. Usually a wife nags because the husband didn't respond the first few statements. And let's say she asks him to spend more time helping one of the boys with their homework. He agreed to do it. Several days go by. He did not sit down with the child. She repeats the request. He apologizes for forgetting, agrees to do it again, opportunity doesn't come, no studying happened, approaches him a third time, more agitated, he responds impatiently, it's been a busy week, wasn't able to do it, brings up the topic again. So the idea is like this, you know, it's like, I don't trust you, you know, I have to treat you like a child. And that's like a unhealthy mothering type of thing. So here is an idea with this concept of a nagging pattern and how to deal with it. So here's an example. Let's say a wife tells the husband all the time, please clean off your desk, it'll be more organized, or please go do more exercise, and so on and so forth. So the wife is attempting to help her husband do what he's supposed to do. That's okay. But when that attempting to help becomes a source of friction in the relationship, then you remind once, provided that he agrees that he wants it to do, and not to remind him a second time, even if he says, remind me a second time. In other words, the lack of nagging conveys an acceptance of the way he is, and I'll contribute to Shalom Bayis and help his behavior. So you ask him to do the task once. Now, if she sees he didn't do it after a reasonable amount of time, then she could choose an appropriate moment to sit down with him, make good eye contact, and tell him earnestly, you know, this particular task is important to me, whatever the reason is, and please, could you do this promptly? And let him know how much she appreciates his efforts and whatever it is. So, you have this a lot with hanging up a coat. Could you please hang up your coat? Sorry, I'll get it in a moment. I'll get it in a moment. After 10 minutes, your coat's still on the chair. I'll be right there. After 20 minutes, how many times do I have to ask you to hang up your coat? You're worse than the kids. Another approach would be, could you please hang up your coat? Sorry, I'll get it in a moment. 10 minutes later, it's not hung up. Let's say she hangs it up herself 10 minutes later. She realizes his head's not in it. Then he could approach in the evening and say, you generally leave your coat on the chair when you arrive, and I put it in the closet for you. Did you notice that? And it's just one extra thing for me to do every day. Do you have any suggestions that would help you remember to put your own coat on the hanger and hang it up? I would appreciate help in that area. Respectfully. Otherwise, you'll be nagging for 10 and 20 years to hang up his coat. And that unpleasant interaction destroys the marital harmony. It's a minor irritation, but it becomes a big issue. And like, a wife has to evaluate how much of a problem is this really. If he's generally neat and he just a little zaflogin about hanging up his coat, what's the best thing to me to do? To make an issue of it or not? Or just to hang it up for the duration of the marriage, and then she doesn't have to ask him every day, and she simply does it for him, and she accepts it. Okay, this is part of the thing. He does so many good things for me, I'll hang it up. Or if she really harbors resentment, if she would hang it up again and again, then you do a healthy negotiation, or sometimes you need outside help with this stuff, because these like little habits could really annoy and become fester. So either you let it go, and if you can't let it go, you learn how to handle it better, but the nagging does not help. Another thing is, again, going to be Magdim, this two-way street to everything I mentioned here. Interpret your husband's behaviors more positively. Have a donis kol adam l'kaf schus. Ein adam l'chaveiroi. We often judge other people l'kaf schus. Often, unfortunately, we don't, and we have to work on it. But with our own spouses, we don't judge them favorably. But usually, if we judge people favorably, including our husbands, our wives, Hashem will be lenient with us when he assesses us. It's hard to judge your husband positively when you're in the middle of a confrontation or you're in some disagreement. But when you judge more in a positive light, it will hold back and prevent escalation of hurtful things. It'll prevent things that will cause more emotional pain in the marriage. So let's say your husband said something that was wrong, unfair, provocative, an insult. So a wife has a right to be upset about the insult, but her more lenient judgment on it will prevent a more painful or destructive interaction. You see, here's the thing that married people need to learn on both ways. Even if there's a wrong party, someone started out saying something wrong, makes no difference which way it is, husband to wife, wife to husband, now it's in the ballpark of the one who received this. Yes, they were subject to something wrong. The husband in this case said an insult he shouldn't have said. But now it's on her, in her ballpark. She could, if she chooses in her mind to say, he's under a lot of stress, doesn't mean what he's saying, he doesn't know how to express his anger constructively, this needs to be worked on, and of course he will improve, then even she, not to say she shouldn't respond, she could respond, you know, please talk to me with a little more derech eretz or whatever, she responds, but it'll be a more calmer reaction. On the other hand, if she tells herself he's cruel, he's terrible, he only wishes to hurt me, he doesn't care about me, these harsh judgments will harm her husband, but harm herself also, because you're internalizing pain caused by your own negative assumptions, and you'll be more likely to lash out against him in response to his outbursts that will lead to more destructive interactions. So judging a husband favorably in these times does not mean he's getting a free ticket, you know, to do whatever he wants. No, it doesn't entitle him to talk harshly. It doesn't. But it doesn't mean, though, that if he does slip and talk harshly, got upset, bad mood, whatever it is, to send them right away to Siberia. There could be a real quick reconciliation if she talks the right way. You know, this was not the way. Or quiet right now, and as soon as he calms down, you approach him and say, you know, you hurt my feelings by talking this way. Usually, they'll see it right away and, you know, ask forgiveness, apologize. We're not talking now about actual abusers, that's a separate situation. We're talking about regular, normal interactions that sometimes come out in these unpleasant ways. Anyway, the idea behind a lot of the shiurim we talked about here is to establish respect. It's a two-way street. It's always a two-way street. We're going to talk in the upcoming shiurim about a different topic. Once there's respect, to also build trust and to be trustworthy and loyal. And we're going to go into that topic as well. Bracha and Hatzlacha.